1320 AM WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:07 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I'm joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning, everyone.
We are looking forward to being joined by Matt LePay any moment. And I was just joking with Seth, actually, because we weren't sure when Matt is going to join us right now or in a couple minutes. And so I was telling Seth, you know, we'll just call an audible. We'll go to Matt when we're ready. And I did not realize I did that.
Yeah. Why not? Why not? Just throw that in there.
I'm the worst. I'm just horrible. Looking forward to talking with Mr. LePay very soon. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and touch on some entertainment news while we're at, while we're waiting, Seth. And
okay.
I wanted to dive right into this, and honestly, I wanted to start the show here. I was so excited.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds, there are very few people that are doing social media better than Ryan Reynolds.
He's
or really promoting better than Ryan Reynolds, mm-hmm. whether it's a new movie, a TV show, one of his Mint Mobile, any of these things. The man is just a natural at this.
He's good.
It would genuinely be one of he's one of the like four or five people in famehood, famous people, celebrities or whatever, that it genuinely would shock me if he's a jerk. Like if he's just this horrible person or something like that.
Because if he is, he's putting on an act like 24/7, and that's got to be exhausting.
I already think he's one of the greater actors in the game. Mm-hmm. I think he's one of the greatest comedic actors, easily top five comedic actors.
Yes.
And action wise, you can make the same argument. But if that was the case, he's the greatest I've ever seen.
Yeah,
like if that's the case, because he's really doing a good job.
Yeah, exactly.
And he does this where he pulls his fans in. He mm-hmm. lulls you in with thinking there's nothing big that's going to happen, and it's all just kind of tame, and it's just Ryan Reynolds having fun. And I encourage people to check out his most recent post, and it's making that you can find it on YouTube. You can find it anywhere.
Right.
It's Ryan Reynolds sitting there, and he made this big announcement yesterday with a Twitter video. In it, Ryan says he's been thinking of ways to make Deadpool's first appearance in the Marvel Cinematic Universe special. This is a big deal.
Right.
This wasn't ever going to happen. Like, it was a pipe dream to make a Deadpool movie, an R-rated Deadpool movie.
Right.
That was the dream.
Yep.
Making a sequel was beyond their dreams.
Yep.
And then actually getting incorporated into the Marvel Universe,
yeah.
Well, that was never going to happen. And now the game has changed.
Yep.
We saw that R-rated action superhero movies can sell. Logan
was a good example, yeah.
Maybe the best.
Yep.
Because that was a franchise that wasn't doing that well. They had a good one, then they had a bad X-Men movie, and a good one, a bad one. But nobody had a problem with Hugh Jackman playing Logan.
Wolverine. Oh, no.
Now, for those that don't know, he in that movie, he wrapped up the character.
Yep.
And retired from playing Wolverine anymore.
He did. Yep.
So Ryan is sitting there, and he's talking about, you know, he's been thinking a lot about this, and he has nothing. He has nothing. He has no idea what to do with Deadpool 3. He has no clue. Nothing looks good. Nothing is on the surface. He's very unsure. He's very scared. He's very nervous about this. However, at the end of the video, he says, I did have one small idea. And Hugh Jackman just goes walking through the background. Hey, Hugh, how'd you feel about playing Wolverine once more? All right. So yeah, sure, yeah. That's how they make that a big announcement. First up, credit to those guys for holding this down on lockdown as long as they did. This
amazing.
Has been in the works for almost a year, and nobody spilled the beans. Nobody let anybody
know. That's amazing.
And just perfectly announced. They could have been this huge promotion thing. They could have done a bunch of tour and interviews and all this stuff that Hollywood always does. No, this is the way you reach people now. This is the way you get this done now. You lull them in or something.
Yep,
like that's
exactly.
All different. I just think it was just masterfully done.
What? Wait, what? What did he just say?
Yeah. So, huge news. Hugh Jackman is going to be reprising his role as Wolverine in Deadpool 3. Who knows how big the part will be, if it'll be a cameo.
Cameo.
We'll see. Who cares?
The movie's ways off, so yeah.
I've been so nervous about who they're going to cast as the next Wolverine. I just want to keep Hugh Jackman doing this. Like, don't let him retire, people.
Poor Hugh Jackman. He can't grow old now.
No.
Because he's got to keep playing Wolverine, and Wolverine is supposed to be, you know, this you know, ageless, you know, healing factor and all this. Poor Hugh Jackman can't help it. He's got to keep doing it.
I mean, at his age, to get in the shape that he has to get in for that role, it ain't
that's not easy.
I'll say this. I'm curious about the Black Adam movie with The Rock, mm-hmm. in part because I want to see if DC can get things right. I'll be honest. Yep. I want to see that. And also because The Rock is in bigger shape and than he's ever been in his life. Think mm-hmm. about that. Like, this man has been in he got his start basically in football. In a wrestling family, got start wrestling, but then yep. went to football at the University of Miami. Mm-hmm. So he's obviously working out in shape all there. Then he goes yep. from that to WWE.
Yep.
In shape, working out every day of his life. Then he becomes an action star, where every movie he's got to get in different types of shape. Some yep. movies not as much, some more. Then he goes on to play this character. So now at 50, I think he's 50 or 51
like that, yeah.
or something like that, has to get in the bigger than he's ever been.
Yes.
Just insane. So just to see that. I mean, just, I don't wow. know. And Pierce Bronson. I'll admit it. I love Pierce Bronson. Big fan of Pierce Bronson.
Yes. Yes. Haven't seen enough of him lately.
Big fan of Tom Hanks. And if we're going to talk about Tom Hanks, we're probably going to talk about something, you know, pretty interesting and cool. But let's be honest, Tom's done it all. I mean, yeah. in front of the camera, acting, comedy, writing, drama.
Yep.
You know, I think everything but horror he's done.
Yep.
And there's some moments in Road to Perdition that are a little horror-esque.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
Now that
you could probably put that in, yeah.
He's directed, he's produced, he's yep. done literally everything. And now we can actually say that he truly has done it all.
Oh,
Tom Hanks has written his first novel.
Oh, goodness. Oh, wow.
It's called The Making of Another Motion Picture Masterpiece, and it's due in May in 2023. It's about the making of, quote, a colossal, star-studded, multi-million-dollar super action flick. It spans about 80 years leading up to the opening of the movie.
Wow.
And Tom knows what he's talking about because he says, quote, I've made a ton of movies, and four of them are pretty good.
Four of them are pretty good. Wow, Tom Hanks. Could you be more self-deprecating? Oh, my goodness.
God, I love him. He added, quote, every character in the book does something I've experienced while making a movie, as well as discovered a philosophy or learned an important lesson. Even the foolish moments are some kind of stunt I've pulled or mistake I've survived. Because as I, you know, it's kind of funny. I was talking about this yesterday and talked about it before. We learn from the hard days. We are made from hard days.
Yes.
The mistakes we make, the follies we make, that's where we learn. Michael yep. Jordan didn't become a great shooter because he made every shot he made. He became a shooter because he learned what wasn't working. He
exactly.
learned from his mistakes.
Yep.
Tom Hanks, no different. It's kind of interesting. It's very cool.
It's very cool, I think. Yep.
We're going to call an audible right now as we are being joined here on Mornings with WFHR by the voice of your Wisconsin Badgers, Matt LePay. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How have you been?
Can't complain. Beautiful fall day.
Yeah.
We talk about sports for a living. It's not all that bad.
Yeah, you're so right, Matt. You're so right. It's really good to hear you, sir. It's been a long time since we've had a chance to talk, and appreciate the time. I know how busy you are, and you've got a lot of these to do today, but thanks for the time. Matt, I want to ask you about the Badger games and certainly kind of go over last week's game and looking ahead. But before we do that, I'm curious. You've been doing this a long time, Matt. Do you get a chance to take in other college football? Do you get a chance to watch other games or keep up to date on them, certainly after the game?
I do as best I can. Part of it is I DVR a lot of games, like for Wisconsin, upcoming opponents. But, yeah, one of the things I like to do, if it's a late game, like last Saturday, catch some of the early window games, you know, the 11 o'clock Central starts. This week they played 11 in the morning, a home game, so I always like to settle in and watch whatever primetime game is on. So, yeah, I really enjoy watching. Both the college and the NFL, they're different games, obviously, but I have a real passion for both.
When it comes to these earlier start times, do you have a preference to, you've been doing this a long time, so is it just kind of, it doesn't matter, just show me where to go and I'll be there, or you prefer the earlier start, the later start?
Yeah, probably more of the just tell me when and I'll be there, but as a broadcaster, yeah, an 11 o'clock home game is good, but at the same time, I don't think that's ideal for the fan, which is that's a far more important component than me. I think any fan who's driving a distance, 11 a.m. it's a little tricky if you're coming from La Crosse or the Fox Valley or you know Milwaukee or Wausau, wherever in our state. It seems the noon kickoffs in the NFL, that hour difference seems to make a big difference, but you know, more to your question, tell me when and where, and what I do isn't heavy lifting, so we'll be there.
Matt, I don't really want to do this, but we should touch on the game from last Saturday. Certainly not the way we wanted it to go as Badger fans, but there are certainly things you can take from the game. What are your takeaways, some of your biggest takeaways from last Saturday's game with Wisconsin and Ohio State?
Well, I've told people here it's a twofold thing. I completely understand a fan's frustration over what happened and Wisconsin's inability to beat Ohio State here over the last dozen years. And I think what was disappointing about Saturday was that the game was over not long after it started. You hoped going in that they would make it as difficult as possible for as long as possible against a team as talented as Ohio State. I'm not a big believer in like the old line about burning the tape. Back when mm-hmm. we used to have videotape. I think you're always trying to learn things, win or lose. It's cleaning up, being assignment sound, those kind of cliches on the defensive side. I mean, that's been an outlier as how good this defense has been over the last several years, certainly under Jim Leonard, but even before that. It was, I guess, a reality check when you face a team that's a top three team in the country, which leads me to the second component, and it's not new, but it just becomes glaring when your team faces a team such as Ohio State. College football is so dramatically top-heavy mm-hmm. these days, and it's been like that for a while. You have Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia, and whoever you want to slot as that fourth team, at least right now, here in late September, it's a distant fourth. And we've seen in this playoff era, the 14 playoff era, and oftentimes, more often than not, you really only have three teams that could have a legit shot to win it. These playoff games tend not to be very close. Mm-hmm. The difference was the first year in 2014 when Ohio State slipped in as a four seed and ended up winning the national championship. But it's just unlike the NFL, college football is not parity driven. It is very much a rich get richer environment. And I think with what we're in now with NIL, with where athletes can benefit, which I'm all for, off of name, image, and likeness, there are certain schools that are naturally going to have players who profit more than others. So it's tough. It's a frustrating thing, and you can look it up. Ohio State, what Ohio State did to Wisconsin last Saturday, Ohio State does to people on a fairly regular basis. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make it fun, but it's the reality. It's the world we're in right now in college football.
You bring up NIL, and I'm curious, Matt, again, somebody who has watched this game for a very long time. It's a different atmosphere now with that, the transfer portal and everything. Not asking necessarily if this is good or bad, but do you see this as giving a new, even more of a power to college football and to the fan, the everyday fan. I'm not talking about the person that's going to put on the paint and everything when they go to Camp Randall or something. Getting average fans involved, they're being more of a balance with players and pay. And it's still not where it probably should be, where these universities should be getting involved. But regardless, NIL has given these players a little more. I know when I'm watching college football now, it's a little different for me, where I'm watching players, and it seems better for them.
Yeah, it does. No, I am on the surface. I am on board with athletes being able to benefit off of their name, image, and likeness. For too many years, forever, you would have the local bookstore selling the jersey number of the star player, and the star player doesn't benefit from that. Mm-hmm. And it always seemed a little weird, and I think players in the last, particularly 15 to 20 years, or maybe even more recently, have voiced their opinion about that. The problem is the lack of real regulation with this, where the powers that be in the NCAA did nothing forever. And then over a series of court cases, this is allowed. And then the powers that be in the NCAA put their head in the sand and said, yeah, okay, whatever. Allegedly, this cannot be used as a recruiting inducement. Allegedly, the athlete is supposed to be on campus, enrolled, then he or she can have deals worked out for NIL, name, image, and likeness. But everybody in college athletics knows that not every school or, you know, boosters around those schools work that way. So the lack of regulation is embarrassing. But but again, I'll circle back. There's no reason why Braylon Allen or, you know, Tyler Wall on the basketball team or a star volleyball player, any athlete should be able to make some money. You know, if it's through social media, you do a commercial for a local business. I am totally on board with that. It's long past due. There just has to be a way to try to line this up where the, you know, if you're gonna have rules, what little rules you have, you got to enforce them, and we just really haven't seen that happen.
Yeah, right. Very well said. We're speaking with Matt LePay, voice of your Wisconsin Badgers. And Matt, we'll get you out of here on this. I just wanted to preview a little bit of the game coming up this Saturday that you will be, of course, broadcasting and covering. And we'll have it right here at WFHR. Our coverage will kick off at 9 a.m. Brett Bielema coming back to town. That always means something when you have a former coach, especially one like him, that had such a history attached to him and with the university. And then you've got a team also coming in the Illini, that are almost a, I don't want to say as good as Wisconsin, but they do what Wisconsin does. They are known for their run game. The defense has been pretty solid against the run. They lead the nation in pass efficiency defense. They're dominating time of possession. These are all things I could say about Wisconsin on a good day. How does this match up in your eyes?
Yeah, it's a tough game for Wisconsin to win. You said it perfectly. You're spot on with this, with the formula. They tweak a few things. They try to introduce a little bit more tempo at times offensively, but Brett inherited a team that was worst in the Big Ten in points allowed in 2020, and they made a major jump last year. They went from worst to fourth, and they've been even better. You know, the schedule is the schedule, but they've played, you know, they've played some pretty good football, and they have the nation's leading rusher in Chase Brown. So while they'll vary some things in their attack offensively, I've known Brett a long time, and they still like to play a physical brand of football, and they're able to do that. So this is, I think it's a tricky game for Wisconsin. I think Illinois is getting better. They're certainly not where Brett wants them. But this is a, the thing about this for me in a very general view here is that after Wisconsin was throttled last week at Ohio State, you know, we all know how fans responded to that. We know what a lot of media are saying or writing. It's important for these players to, as best they can, not concern themselves with that and just get back to trying to establish your own identity. I think this team thinks it can be pretty good, and it still has a lot of time to show everybody, most importantly themselves, that they can be pretty good. They're going to have to be pretty good this weekend to beat Illinois. If you start flopping around in a game like this, you're going to find yourself in trouble.
You know, the schedule ahead, you've got Northwestern after that, Michigan State, Purdue, Maryland, Iowa, Nebraska, and then you wrap up the season with Minnesota. That Minnesota and this game with the Illini, Michigan State, you can say maybe a little bit too, but not a world-beater schedule. So you win this game, and you can really build on this to, you know, finish the rest of your season, maybe get a nice bowl game in that.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, last year, not that it really has any relation to this, but last year they started 1-3, won 7 straight, maybe ran out of gas against Minnesota, but they ended up winning 8 of their last 9 games, and it wasn't the kind of year that they wanted, but to their credit, they rose up and recovered from a really bad start and had a, you know, had a decent enough season. So they have all 6 of their opponents in the West on the schedule in front of them. Obviously, 8 conference games remaining. But they're playing teams that are, you know, their history at Northwestern is not good in the last 20 years. Maryland is getting better. Maryland gave Michigan a pretty good run last week, I should say. And the one thing, I guess, I'm never going to claim to be very smart, but one thing that I think I have learned over the years is that just as soon as you think a team might never win another game, it goes on a run, right, or vice versa. You think, how could they lose? They, you know, something happens to them. I think that's really been glaring for me with Wisconsin basketball, because you've had some drama off the court, and you're thinking the sky is falling, and they've won or shared a Big Ten championship in two of the last 3 years. So that I think I've been able to train myself as a play-by-play announcer over the years to keep an open mind. As soon as I think I understand what's going to happen, I find out I'm wrong. So I want to hope for the best for these guys. It's a good group. They've got good players. And I just want to see them get back to playing their brand of ball and get a little confidence back.
My nana used to say, you want to make God laugh, make plans. You know, you think you know what's coming.
That's well put.
You just made our day, Matt. Thanks so much for joining us. You're the best. We appreciate it. We will join you this Saturday for some Badger football. You have yourself a great day.
You guys do the same. Appreciate local radio, guys. So keep doing what you're doing. Take care.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Again, Matt LePay, your voice of Wisconsin Wisconsin Badgers, joining us there. That was awesome.
That was great.
Can I just be a fanboy for a second?
Yes,
that
you
was
can.
Really
yes.
Cool. That was really cool.
And I just want to remind everyone out there, this will be in the podcast very shortly after we wrap up the show here today. So if you want to hear it once more time, or if you find, hey, do you know WFHR, they spoke to Matt LePay, it'll be on civicmedia.us. You can go to the shows there, go to Mornings with WFHR, and you can listen to that same interview as many times as you want. That's what we want, right?
Oh, I will. No.
Just keep that in mind, everyone. It'll be right there.
Thank you very much for mentioning that,
yeah.
Seth. That's really good note to mention. We'll take, let's go ahead and do it. We play Melissa's news a little early. We're just a minute or two early for Mel's news. We'll get to that. We'll come back. We'll have some entertainment news, have some more fun. Thanks for joining us here on Mornings with WFHR.
From the Civic Media.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great one out there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll touch on a little bit of a station entertainment news now, because there is just so much going on here.
Yeah, we got tons coming up. My goodness.
I want to certainly mention that Seth and I are still hard at work behind the scenes on the Unlabeled show.
We are.
It's going to be a show that is going to be able to feature our local entertainers, whether they're a play or a magician or a writer. We are going to also be having musicians on with us on that show, and we've already got our first guest lined up. We're not going to spoil it yet, but we've got Seth, over the past couple of, like, especially while you've been out of town, I've written out the first four or five shows.
Excellent.
It's our show, so we'll work that out together.
Right
we'll collaborate and everything, but that's
nice.
Just something that I've been working on. I'm very excited about this show and this opportunity to be able to focus and put more of a spotlight on our entertainers. But also, like, I've been talking with somebody that they make a board video, a board game, like a Magic the Gathering or these things, Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing, like that
role playing kind of stuff. Yeah.
There's a gentleman in the Coosa and his wife that made a board game, and we're gonna have them on, talk about it and everything, because it's being sold and all this.
Excellent, let's do it.
In this state, I would think that D&D and that stuff means something. We're proud of our stuff we create in this country, in the Midwest here.
That's
D&D
right.
is one of those things.
It is one very, very rooted in Wisconsin.
So those kind of things we're looking forward to. Earlier in the last week and in this past Monday, we talked about the Kitchens Open, the Melissa and Beth show that they are working on, focusing on food and all of those things. That's exciting.
It's another fun one.
Mentioned earlier, our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings are now, they have a new home over at our sister station, WIRI, Wiscountry, that kicks off this Saturday.
Yes.
Hockey is back. Yes.
All 16 home games.
Yes.
On the air.
You had me at hockey.
Yes.
So excited about that. We, of course, and Badger hockey, Badger football, all those things going on. We're covering as much high school sports as we can.
Yep.
And I can tell the audience with confidence we will be covering more next year.
Yes.
Maybe even into the basketball season, maybe. We're getting stronger every day with these things and being able to do more of this stuff. And our owners, especially Mike, loves us covering sports.
He's a big sports guy, so yes.
Be on the lookout for all of that. I mentioned earlier in the day that October 7th is a big one around here. We get to get out in the public. The animals are escaping the zoo as Melissa and I will be at Family Natural Foods to help them celebrate their 76th year in business. We're bringing the morning show on the road. It's a road game.
We'll be
there broadcasting live and direct from 7 to 10. Seth will be here making sure everything sounds as good as it can.
Yes, indeed.
Looking forward to that. But I do want to get right away to what's coming up this Sunday. Actually, this weekend. It's the Giant Pumpkin Fest, Charlie Brown. It's the Nakusa Giant Pumpkin Fest.
Is that where the Great Pumpkin comes from? It's from the Giant Pumpkin Fest in Nakusa. Hmm. We have found out
Linus
was always in the wrong patch.
Yep.
That's what it
that's
was.
Why, That's why I should have been here in Wisconsin.
All that humiliation.
Seth is going to be broadcasting live and direct from beautiful Riverside Park in Nakusa for this wonderful event. You're going to be there from 2:30 to 4:30.
Yes, indeed.
You're going to be talking with people, letting people know about different things that are going on down there. And
yes.
You're also going to be able to give a play-by-play of the pumpkin drop.
The pumpkin drop. Oh, I can't wait. You know, it's I'm going to describe it in grisly detail. Every little bit. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it'll be fun. It'll be a lot of fun. Anytime people drop pieces of vegetables, or watermelons, fruit, doesn't matter, from a large height, I love it. I'm there. I hope it makes a really cool sound. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll be a part of all the events down there, talking about the craft show, the car show. Mm-hmm. We were talking to some of the ladies that are helping pull this off yesterday with that. And Steph will be down there as well.
Steph will be there.
Steph will not be able to be – usually, for those that don't know, when you do remotes, traditionally the salesperson is kind of your right hand.
Yep.
They help you out so much. And I thought I understood what that was, and then I started working with Steph. And Steph is not only the right hand, but the left hand, the brains.
Yes.
You know, everything. She's amazing. But she's going to be a little busy. She's had this great idea that she is going to be up in the crane where the drop is going to take place.
Even better.
She'll be filming it. She'll be, putting a bunch of it on social media and everything. So we're going to actually have this covered audio-wise and visually.
We'll have it all.
That's so cool.
That is going to be really cool. That is going to be nice.
The pumpkin drop, the giant pumpkin drop will take place around 4-ish on Sunday. Mm-hmm. We'll be live the whole time.
Yep.
And while you're watching the pumpkin drop, you know, we'll have the play-by-play for you and everything. The giant pumpkin is filled with candy, so kids are going to go crazy over that.
It's like a pinata you don't have to hit.
Right.
The candy comes to you, yes.
This is such a wonderful, beautiful event. To me, this is the kickoff of fall. This has always been the kickoff of autumn. Mm-hmm. I've attended many of these over the years, and I've loved every single one. Never had a bad time at one of them. And
it's going to be fun.
And you won't this weekend either. They're going to have the craft show, farm and flea market, pumpkin carver, free pumpkin decorating and games for kids, carnival in Midway, music's going to be down there, a lot of food and refreshments.
Yes.
This is a Saturday and Sunday thing. Saturday, giant pumpkin, fruit and vegetable way off, antique tractor and small engine show, children's activities sponsored by Paper City Savings, and they'll have a giant pumpkin drop then at 5, and then on Sunday, car, truck, and motorcycle show, music, children's activities, pumpkin rolling contest for the kids. I love those. Those are sneaky entertaining, man. Those are really fun.
Yep.
And, of course, the giant pumpkin drop, which, again, we will be covering live at 4 o'clock on our sister station, Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI.
And I'm looking. I'm hoping so far so good. Looks like the weather is going to be cooperating with us. It's actually going to be kind. It's going to be very nice. Beautiful weather, so we're going to want you to come down, everyone. We'll be on the radio, but we want you to come down. Come see us. That's what we're there for. So come on down, 2:30 to 4:30 on Sunday.
It's going to be such a fun event, and it won't be the same without you, so meet us there. The great, the Nakusa Giant Pumpkin Fest going on this Saturday and Sunday over at Riverside Park in beautiful Nakusa. You can find out more information if you'd like about this event by going to their website, NakusaGiantPumpkinFest.com. It's all one word, NakusaGiantPumpkinFest.com.
This week, the whole, it's starting off with a bang or a thud, I guess, with this weekend, and then it's just going to go from there. We've got all kinds of stuff. We've got plays going on. We got, October is going to be crazy.
I see what you did there with the thud of the pumpkin drop.
Yes,
I like it. Very well played by you,
or
sir.
A splat. Whatever sound it makes. I've never heard it. I don't know.
And you, even though we haven't gotten to work together in about a week, our chemistry is right there. You teed me up perfectly. I wanted to wrap up talking and asking you how the rehearsals are going for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's premiere show of the 22 season, The Odd Couple.
I have no idea. I've been there for a couple of days. Right, I'm just kidding. No, I'm getting back into the swing of things this week, and we're getting ready. We're getting set. You know, it's wow. Can't believe it's coming up so quickly here. Yeah. But it's going to be a great show. It's going to be tons of fun. I know people know The Odd Couple pretty well. It's a pretty well known show. But each time you know a different group puts it on, they add their own little things to it. So again, we've got some fun things going to be happening in this show. And what can I say? It's Neil Simon. It's probably the greatest play he ever wrote. So yeah. Come on out and see it.
Gretchen has a different angle on things than a lot of directors mm-hmm. do. So that yep. alone is going to give it an original touch. I saw the set the other day. Oh, my God. It's one of the most amazing sets I've ever seen. These sets are so much more 3D lately.
Yes,
like
they
the
are.
Last, like two seasons, it seems like they've just been more. They're coming into the audience is that much closer to the stage.
More because elaborate. Yeah.
It feels that way. And then you put you and Tim together, who you guys have chemistry. You
yeah.
both have been on that stage a number of times already.
Yes, we have.
So it's not unfamiliar. And I do believe that is going to make it that much, so much more stronger and funnier.
Right.
You guys having that chemistry. You're both great actors, and you put original spins on the characters you play.
Right.
That's going to be fun.
That's the tough thing about playing a character that is so iconic. You know, that you have not only, I mean, by two really good Oscars over the years. Of course,
yes.
Walter Matthau, who I don't know if a lot of people know, he actually originated the role on Broadway before he was chosen to also star in the movie as Oscar. And then, of course, he had the TV show in the 70s with the great Jack Klugman, who did the same role. And they both brought something different to the role. And you know, how many actors have played Oscar? I mean, thousands, I'm guessing, over the years. So you got to try to find that little thing that you can bring to make it just a little bit different. You know, you can do an homage to the ones that have gone before, of course, like any, you know, mm-hmm. like doing Hamlet, you know, role everyone knows, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's one of those roles that you got to try to find that. And that's what I'm working on right now, trying to find my little piece of Oscar there.
You feel good about that? You feel you're getting there?
I think so.
Right.
I think so. Oscar he seems very simple, but if you dig a little bit, he's got more complexity there than you think.
Definitely.
Felix seems like the real complicated one, but Oscar has his moments too.
We are looking forward to it. This premieres on October 7th. I told you it's going to be a busy day.
Yes, very, very busy day.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to this whole run. I do want to let the audience know as well that while, you know, the show must go on, so Miracle on 34th Street is the next show, and the auditions for that have already been announced.
Goodness.
It is going to be directed by the great Susan Egrin, who directed both of us, of course, and big fan of Susan's. She is going to be directing Miracle on 34th Street. The auditions will be Monday and Tuesday, October 17th and 18th. You can find out more and get your tickets for The Odd Couple and the whole season by going to wrctheater.org. It's wrctheater.org. We'll meet you there. It's going to be a great show. Break a leg, brother. Have a great run.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk more about it as we get into the next week and stuff. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun. I'm listening to, and I was telling the audience yesterday, her and I got a chance to finally interact, talk a little bit, and I can guarantee, I can tell you, same on air as off air. Like, I love that when that happens. And she is just such a fun person, such a cool person.
She is.
She is going to be broadcasting that Friday, October 7th, from our studios. She's going to be here in Wisconsin Rapids.
That's so awesome.
I think it was a very classy, nice thing of her to do. She asked me if I'd come on her show, and I'm going to jump on her show for a little bit. That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so excited to welcome her and her team here. We're going to do a home and home. I'm going to definitely do that. We're going to get her on our morning show, too. We'll get her on at some point. This is exciting. This is fun. This is it's not very often that an 80-plus-year-old radio station gets to have new life.
Exactly.
A big shout out to Civic Media and believing in us and backing us on this. And we appreciate it so very much. We ain't going to let you down.
No,
tell you that.
No. And it's the other great thing is this is her hometown. This is where her folks still live in town here. So she gets to kind of visit with her old stomping ground. So it'll be great.
We don't get a chance to do this very often, Seth, but since we had an opening, I thought, let's do a day in history. Let's
go
through a little bit of a day in history for this September 28th, going back in time, 480 years ago to 1542. We all remember those days.
Yes, we do.
The fashion back then that we were walking around in, Seth, just a joke.
Plague
what were
cheek,
we thinking?
You know?
What were we thinking? Well, so in 1542, a Portuguese navigator working for the Spanish crown, one Juan Rodriguez Cabarillo, discovered California when he sailed into present-day San Diego Bay.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
Yes. Yes. Well, he sort of discovered. You know,
He
was the first European to see it. Let's
be specific about this. That's apt to do. In 1920, one of the darker days for me, even though it was long before I was born, on September 28th in 1920, a Chicago grand jury indicted 8 members of the Chicago White Sox on charges of fixing the 1919 World Series. The White Sox owner, Charles Kaminsky, immediately suspended all the players, even though he was in on it. even though he was in on the whole thing.
Well, he was the owner, though. That's different.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not different for them.
Man, I have no love for Mr. Comiskey. I love Comiskey Park. I love my White Sox, one of my favorite teams in anything, in any sport.
Yep.
But, yeah. And I got to do this, and I'm sorry for those that have been listening to me for years, do this every time. Joe Jackson had a 308 or a 380 batting average. Yeah, Joe took the money. Took the money because he didn't make much money back then, but he played his tail off. If the White Sox had won that, he would have been the World Series MVP. Like, right. I'm not just saying that as a homer. Like, he would have been. There's a lot more history there on that.
Let's just say this. Let's just put this right out there. There is a reason why the players took the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why.
Yeah.
And you can go look up for you can go look that up on your own. But it's not because they just did it because they thought it would be fun.
Right.
There's a reason they did it.
67 years ago in 1955, the World Series was televised in color for the first time.
Wow.
The New York Yankees beat the Brooklyn Dodgers 6-5 in Game 1.
The Dodgers came back
and
finally won their World Series in 1955.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a great story, and I would love if we could have, pull up the interview, but we can't do it. That was Vin Scully had started with the Dodgers in 1950. He was a young, callow youth. He was the one that got to mention on air, ladies and gentlemen, the Brooklyn Dodgers are the world champions.
Wow.
And he said that's all he could get through because right after that, he broke down and started crying.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
And that was the only time the Dodgers won the World Series when they were in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That was it. The one time, 1955.
One of my favorite things I have is my Brooklyn Dodgers jersey.
I love that.
My Colfax Brooklyn Dodgers jersey.
Yes.
Yeah. 54 years ago in 1968, Hey Jude by the Beatles hit number one on the Pops chart, remained there for 9 weeks.
Jeez.
46 years ago in 1976, Stevie Wonder's released Songs in the Key of Life featuring Isn't She Lovely.
Yeah, that's a great record.
It's a great record.
That whole record is awesome.
And 35 years ago in 1987, Star Trek The Next Generation premiered.
All right. I'm a Next Generation kid. That's what I grew up on.
On this day premieres.
On this day. Cool. Nice.
31 years ago in 1991, Rope in the Wind by Garth Brooks became the first country music album to debut at number one in the Billboard's pop album chart. Wouldn't be the last time Garth would do that.
Nope.
And he really paved the way for other country artists getting having that happen.
You were absolutely right.
And 31 years ago in 1991, Chris Farley, Chris Rock, and Julie Sweeney became members of Saturday Night Live. They would be joined by Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider and
Dana David Carvey.
Speed, Dana Carvey. So many. Dana was there already.
Oh, he was already there. Okay.
Yeah. But that influx of talent, I still don't believe they've had any. I think that's the best that they ever had, that opening class of SNL.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of the first class, of course.
The very first class, yeah.
And that's saying something because there are a lot of great ones, even in recent memory, of stars being on that show. And wow, they got their start there. They got the,
Yep.
And in 18 years ago, or I'm sorry, 18 years ago in 2004, John Mayer released the Hauntingly Beautiful Daughters and went on to win a Grammy for Song of the Year.
All right.
Some interesting stuff
there
happening
you go.
On this day.
And it wasn't bad.
No.
Because there's lots of stuff we could have gotten into.
Yeah. I stayed away from it. You notice I kind of...
All the awful things, yeah.
Well, I did mention the 1919 World Series.
The Black Sox scandal,
I did that. So one quick That Ain't Right story for you here, and this is a doozy. On Monday, some guy showed up at a police facility in Chicago and asked a guard where to go to retrieve some personal property that supposedly he had. They supposedly had.
Okay.
It's not clear what the property was, but instead of heading to the public entrance, he walked around the side of the fire escape, climbed up to the fifth floor, found a door drop and popped up. A door drop popped up, opened and went inside. It turned out that that door led to a room where there was an active SWAT training drill going on.
Not smart.
For some reason, the guy grabbed a gun off a table and was going to point. The gun didn't have any live ammo.
Yeah, right.
Obviously, with a fleet of SWAT officers right there, this guy didn't even have a chance to think about this before they were on him.
Yeah, right.
But
the karma involved. You break into a police station. First, the ridiculousness of that sentence, okay? Then you just happen to fall into a room. Could it, like, one room over, maybe it's a closet. The room next to
or
that.
Or empty classrooms, who knows?
The only thing that would have been better than him falling into a SWAT training going on is him, like, literally falling into a cell. Like,
yeah.
like a cartoon or something. Like, yes. Just, karma, baby.
It's
like,
karma, man.
You may not believe in karma, but it believes in you.
Instant karma's going to get you.
It's too darn good.
That's a good one.
I'm thankful everybody was okay
yes,
and everything. But
still.
Man, that is something. I got some good stories of the day for you now. A police dog in Scotland that helped find 38 missing people in her career finally got to retire.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
She'll get to live out the rest of her days with the cops she's worked with since 2012.
Yeah.
We just recently in this state had something similar happen with one of our canines, and she is going to be retiring with the officer that adopted her, or the officer adopted her and everything.
I talked to one of the Nukusa canine officers a little while ago, and I asked about that, and it's hard when they retire not to give them up because they've worked so closely with and it's like, yeah. Usually they take them home.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful relationship
when
you get to
wonderful.
Talk to the people about that and all that. How's this for a glass half full? A Canadian woman's home got wrecked by the remnants of Hurricane Fiona on Saturday, but her refrigerator that got pulled out of sea was washed up to her neighbor's lawn. And she was so genuinely psyched that all the White Claw hard seltzers she'd bought were still in the refrigerator. She was so happy about this. And I know it seems silly and everything.
She needed a drink.
Unless you've been in a situation like that, you have no idea.
You can't relate
and you can't judge.
No.
And if that made her smile, I don't care what it was. I'm happy she got a chance to smile even for a moment.
Me too.
A 56-year-old woman in Utah is about to give birth to her own granddaughter. And next on Maury or Jerry Springer.
The Weekly World News. Wow.
What is going on here? Her daughter-in-law had a hysterectomy after having four boys through in vitro.
Mm.
So she offered to carry the last embryo they have. She's due in November.
Oh, that's going above and beyond.
I need a tack board to put all these things together here and everything. Like, who's what? Like, what the?
Yeah, well, who's kid?
That is going to be a fascinating family reunion.
Yeah, that discussion is it's going to lead to a lot of jokes, I think. There's going to be a lot of jokes coming from
definitely.
This.
Definitely. And while it's being renovated, 29 staffers at a Mexican place in Denver called Casa Bonita got 4 months of classes to become bilingual in English and Spanish. The place almost closed for good last year after its owners went bankrupt. But Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park bought it outright.
Wow.
And so it's still going around strong, and it's even better now and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And for diehard South Park fans, you'll remember back in 02, 03 or something like that, they did a whole Casa Bonita episode. Cartman basically like kidnaps a kid to try to be able to do this and stuff just because he wants to go to a birthday party and stuff.
Yeah, right.
It's at Casa Bonita. Wait, that you talk about above and beyond.
Wow.
When we tell celebrities to stay in their lane, when we tell athletes to, you know, just dribble.
Don't, shut up and dribble, right, yeah.
They don't think about things like this.
Yeah.
And you notice this happened and nobody talked about it.
Nope.
Matt and Trey didn't put it on social media. They didn't take a bunch of selfies there. They just did it.
Yep.
That is pretty darn cool right
now. That's
there.
Awesome. That's a great story.
It's pretty dang cool having you back, Seth. It's been a great
thank
show.
You.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us this morning.
It's been fun.
I know you got a lot to do.
Time. Yeah. I'm working on it already. I'm working on it. I'm still here. I don't know how I'm doing that.
Join us tomorrow. We'll have the gang back together as Melissa and Seth will be with us. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to Morning Magazine coming up in moments. In part one, Lance Plimmel, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And in part two, we'll talk to the ODC. Be good to each other. Have yourselves a good day. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFH. Well, you tell them, Heather.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at